Amen. We want to continue to talk about end time things today, some of the things that are coming upon the earth, and as a reminder to us, the Word of God is telling us these things. Before I get to the Word of God, let me read a quote from Brother David Wilkerson. This is dated December 17, 2007. It's in his newsletter, pulpit series, whatever. And the title of this article is, "These Times Demand Special Trust." Okay? Now, I don't know what you believe about Brother David, but I believe that he is a godly man, and I believe that he hears by the Spirit of God. Let me begin by reading the first two paragraphs. I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but just the first two paragraphs to give us a taste of what is being said in this hour by the Holy Spirit. It says, "Every Christian claims to trust the Lord, yet in reality, many of God's children aren't ready to face the black storm coming upon the world. Unless we lay hold of a special, unshakable trust in our Lord, we won't be ready for the hard times now or in the future. When the full fury of the storm breaks and uncertainty falls over humankind like a cloud, multitudes of Christians won't be able to handle it. Overcome with fear, they will lose their song of victory. Who are these believers who won't be prepared to endure the storm? They are those who haven't cultivated a life of prayer with the Lord and are not grounded in His Word." I'm going to leave off from reading that now at this point. I just want you to know that it is not just brethren that we know personally that are saying something is coming, but it is brethren that we do not intimately fellowship with that are also hearing from God. Amen. I've never met this man in person. Amen. I think Janet met him one time. She was in a meeting out in Buffalo where he gave a prophetic word. In fact, the word, prophetic word that he gave really spoke to her life and gave a confirmation of something that she really needed to hear at that time. Now, brethren, we've been talking about the day of preparation. I believe that we are in a day of preparation, that God has given us a little season of time. We've heard the word that Brother DeSeal has been given by the Lord concerning 2008. We are now in 2008. Here it is, the sixth day of 2008 in January. Already it is here. The thing has not broken out upon us. It didn't necessarily mean it was going to happen January 1st, 2008. Furthermore, we're not sure exactly what God meant by 2008. However, we are not looking to the calendar for our deliverance. Amen. We are looking to the Lord. And the Word of God is quite clear that there is something coming. Let me read a little from the Word of God here. I'm going to go to Isaiah 25. I'm going to read some verses there, and I'm going to read some verses in Isaiah 26. Now, these are verses that we've read before, brethren. These are passages you have heard. But in context with what I have just read from Wilkerson's article, let me read it again. Wasn't it last week as we gathered together here, there were two or three times the word storm was mentioned. Do you remember who it was? I think it was Mike that mentioned it one time. Didn't you mention it, or was it Patsy or somebody that used the term? And maybe they were using it concerning a personal storm in their life, okay? Because sometimes when our circumstances rise up against us, it seems like there's a storm coming against us, okay? But I think that God is talking about a storm that is going to be experienced not just by us personally, but by the whole world. There's not one human being that is going to miss the storm that is coming. Now, Isaiah 25, Let me just read the first four verses, perhaps. Okay? O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. This starts off in a very positive note, doesn't it? Very, very wonderful praise of our God. He's faithful. He's able to do and keep us. Amen. For thou hast made of a city a heap. This doesn't sound very positive, does it? You know, as we're coming past the, we come by Michigan Ave, Brandywine, and we come past this school that used to be a public school. And I can't help but think when I read this verse, thou hast made a city a heap. This school is a heap of rubble today. All because of a fire that some arsonist started on that thing, and they brought the cranes in and just craned it right down to a heap. And now I guess they're sorting out bricks and this type of thing. Thou hast made of a city a heap. Can you imagine a whole city being made like this school was made into? My goodness, the size of this heap of rubble, I wouldn't have believed you could make a pile that high. Amen. Of a defense city, a ruin. Now that's a city with a big wall that was defended. Lord, you've taken a big city and you've just made it a pile of rubble. Isn't this amazing? And you say, well, it can't be done. Well, let's go on. A palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. My goodness, when you think of the palaces, I think of these things that they're building over in, what's that little tiny Arabian thing down there on the sea, that little Arabian country?
Kuwait.
No, the one that they're building these...
Dubai.
I mean, they build a ski thing in there. In the desert, where it gets 120 to 130 degrees down there. Here we are, struggling for the price of oil, and they're spending energy, air conditioners or whatever, compressors, to cool this thing down so they can ski for a few hundred feet inside. What a waste of energy.
I want it to be like Las Vegas.
Yeah, so, I mean, brethren, we're talking about things that God is going to bring down to nothing. All the vanity of man, God is going to bring it down to nothing. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear thee. Hello. What do we consider the city of the terrible nations? Well, we know where the terrorists are. Amen. The city of the terrorists. My goodness, we could name a bunch of them, couldn't we? We could name Islam bad. It's a city of terrorists, and it's erupted into a place of violence now. And by the way, they have nukes.
Yep.
This is a Muslim country. And how many, what was it, the Time magazine estimated that they have as many as 70, or was it 80, or something like that, nukes that are fully made and operational? And somebody said, well, what are they going to do if the government truly breaks apart? They said, oh, well, the U.S. is going to rush in and snatch the nukes on them quick. Yeah, well, the problem is they don't know where they all are. They're all dispersed into different places. And, you know, the terrorists, the Al-Qaeda type, what they want to get a hold of those nukes. They're already made, ready to go. Oh, well, amen. Now let's go on. I don't want to be too negative here. For thou hast been a strength to the poor. Listen, again, here's a verse that starts off positive. Thou hast been a strength to the poor. How many of you believe that you need to know that God is a strength to the poor?
Amen.
I don't consider myself among the billionaires, so I'm probably going to consider myself among this group. I want to be poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why?
For
theirs is the kingdom of God. Amen. We're going to inherit the kingdom of God, brethren. by being poor in spirit. Now, God is a strength to the poor. Why? Because a poor man generally feels that he doesn't have any influence. I don't have any clout. I don't have any strength. God is my strength. Hallelujah. A strength to the needy in his distress. Now, I didn't know there was much difference between poor and needy. You can be poor, amen, and not necessarily needy at the same time. But occasionally, we have needs, and we can't meet those needs. God, what does it say? He is a strength to the needy in his distress. A refuge, now listen to this, a refuge from the storm. Now listen to the description of this storm that he's talking about. A refuge. Remember, it starts off a refuge from this storm. Okay? A shadow from the heat. What kind of a storm is this? This sounds like a hot storm, doesn't it? A shadow from the heat when the blast... we're getting another description of this storm. Storm, heat, blast. That sounds atomic to me, doesn't it? Amen? When the blast of the terrible ones... Who are the terrible ones again? Terrorists! Terrible means terror. Amen? When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. My goodness, what kind of a picture comes into your mind when you see this? A blast against the wall. What? God is the wall.
Like a piece of paper.
Amen. God is the most powerful wall that you can ever imagine. And here comes an atomic blast against that wall. Right up against the wall. Stop. Why? Because that wall represents the refuge of God. He can stop it from crossing that wall. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, amen. I'll read verse 5 just to bring it into context. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. My, there's another description, isn't it? The shadow of a cloud. That sounds like the fallout, doesn't it? The shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to hear that good news, aren't you? Now, let's go over to the next chapter. Amen. Oh, dear. Let's not be in a hurry to go on. I see some other verses here that I really want to read here.
What about the end there, verse 8?
Yeah, let's go on. That's why I want to go on. I'll just read down through. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. I mean, that sounds like a party. A spiritual party. Now, we're not going to get drunk on natural wine, brethren. Don't start thinking that. Okay? Wine spiritually speaks of joy and gladness. That's what it means as a spiritual picture. All right? God is going to bring His people in this mountain. What mountain? What mountain are we talking about?
Zion.
Mount Zion. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, verse 7. And He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over the people and the veil that is spread over all nations. What is the veil spread over all nations? It's a veil of fear, is it not? Fear of terror. Fear of what's coming upon the earth. Fear. My God, He says, I'm going to destroy that cloud of veil, that thing that just covers, that prevents us from seeing the glory of God. He's going to destroy it. He's going to remove it. Hallelujah. He will swallow up death in victory.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it.
Amen.
Amen. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God.
Yes.
We have waited for him, and he will save us.
Yes.
It shall be said of our God.
Yes.
Amen. We're talking about a hidden place in him.
Amen.
In time of tribulation, brethren. We're talking about a secret place. We're talking about a place of coming into his holiness. This is not just a name it and claim it thing, brethren. This is not just a, well, I read it, I claim it, therefore it's mine. You have to do something about this. It demands an action of preparation on our part. It says in Revelation that the bride hath made herself ready. Now, she can't do it all in her own flesh. But she has to do her part in cooperating with God. What is the bride's place? She cries out to the Lord. She says, my God, I want holiness. My God, I want to be the bride. I want to be joined with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Does not a natural bride anticipate and look forward to being joined together with her natural husband? And so it is a spiritual picture. A natural bride has certain things that she prepares before that wedding day, does she not? What are some of the things that she does? Well, for one thing, she's not going to come right out of working in the hayfield, and she's going to take a bath, she's going to clean herself up, amen? She's going to get her hair all fixed up. My goodness, lots of brides go to a special place and get their hair all, you know, they go to a little salon and fix it this way and fix it that way and put the curls in here and put them over there and ringlets somewhere else, you know, and oh, it's all got to be stacked up just right, you know. Oh, yes, and she gets a special dress, amen, and the dress represents what?
Purity.
It represents purity, it represents righteousness. Now, how are we going to do that in the spiritual? How are we going to get cleaned up spiritually? Amen. Isn't it the blood of Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. And we call upon the blood. We remember our covenant in the blood. And we're asking God to deliver us from every besetting sin. The sin that doth so easily beset us and the weight. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, we're going to have to get ourselves in shape. Literally, the weight. In Hebrews chapter 11, the last verse there, the weight. Let me go over and read it. Hold your finger right here. Because this is end time verse as well.
Amen.
Chapter 12, the first verse. See, there shouldn't have been a division there. I called it chapter 11. Amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Do you understand, brethren, there are people in heaven that are waiting to hear and see this end time thing unfold. They are waiting to see our response to this. They don't know this in heaven. God is not just, you know, you die and you go to heaven, you're going to know everything. No. You're going to learn by watching what's happening on earth. It says that angels desired to look into this thing, doesn't it? Yes, creation is waiting. What is creation waiting for? The manifestation of the sons of God. You know, people get awful offended sometimes at that term. Well, then what are you going to do with it? You got a razor in your hand? You're going to go and slice that verse out of Romans chapter 8? Oh, I don't like that verse. That's manifest sons of God. We don't believe manifest sons of God. Well, maybe some men have taken this doctrine and twisted it into a place that it didn't belong. And they've maybe corrupted men's understanding of what it means, but it means what it says. creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I'm telling you, brethren, I believe with all my heart that when this tribulation comes upon the earth, when this nuclear blast begins to come forth, and we're going to be in a secret place, and maybe we're going to be in a natural place as well, but in this natural place that we're going to be, we're going to start crying out to the Lord. Amen? And as Brother David is saying here, let's not wait until then to start developing a relationship, a personal relationship with our Lord.
Amen.
Let's begin by doing it now. My goodness, you know, maybe we don't understand what prayer is. Maybe we think that we pray only 3 times a day when we come to bless the food. No, come on, brethren, you know, I find that I am talking to the Lord all day long.
Amen.
I'm working. Sometimes Rita comes in and I'm in a room or something, and she hears me muttering, and she says, "What did you say? What are you saying?" Oh, nothing. No, don't worry about it. I'm just talking to the Lord. I mutter all day long. Amen. Amen.
Isn't it one of the weapons of a warfare to pray without ceasing?
Yes. Well, it's a weapon. Praying is a weapon. Amen? And it's prayer that is going to bring down the terrible ones. The sons of God are going to rise up, brethren, and there's coming a time as we call out on the Lord. What I'm trying to describe here, oh my, there's so many places to go and so little time to go there. We're talking about Revelation chapter 12. Yes, and 11.
11:11 is awesome.
Yes, we're talking about the woman church bringing forth a man-child church, standing upon the old order moon outer court church. It's under her feet. She's come above that. Come on, brethren. Here, brethren. Don't you hear the trumpet call in this hour? Don't you hear the sounding of the trumpet in this day and in this hour? What was the purpose of the sound of the trumpet in the days of Joshua? Amen. There was a trumpet sound for battle. They blew the trumpet. Amen. You know, in the army today, they still have signals that they give with a trumpet, don't they? They have a trumpet call for advance. They have a trumpet call for a retreat. Do they not?
Horse racing.
Well, let's not get into horse racing, sister. That's a bugle. Amen. Well, the bugle might be a type of a trumpet. Amen. But anyway, the message goes out. How are we going to obey unless we hear the message that the trumpet is giving in this day? And when we find the trumpets in Revelation, we are talking about the announcements that are coming from heaven.
Amen.
From the Spirit of God they are coming. Hallelujah. So we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They are watching our lives. My goodness, I hope they're not watching my failures. I hope God pulls the curtain across when I'm about to fail. They don't need to see that. What they need to see is me having victory. They're watching you, sister. There's people in the cloud of witnesses that are waiting for you to come to a full victory over the things that easily beset you. They're waiting for me. They're waiting for you to overcome that thing of the flesh. Yes, they are. Let us, because we are being watched, because of that, let us lay aside every weight. Do you know what that translates in literal, actual Greek language? Fatty bulges. Why? Fatty bulges. Why? Because we are training for the Olympics, spiritual Olympics. A person who is training for the Olympics cannot afford 10 extra pounds where they don't belong. It's going to keep you 3 seconds behind the guy that's going to win because you're carrying something that you shouldn't be carrying. They want you to be lean, mean, fighting machine. Amen? And you're going to win the prize. Therefore, let us lay aside the weight, every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. What is the sin that doth so easily beset us? The thing that we have struggled with from the day we were born. The thing that we discovered was our problem when we were 16 years old. The thing that we discovered when we were 30 years old. Amen? We discovered generational spirits that our fathers had that struggled with. Amen? Maybe it took us a few years to figure it out, but we know now what they are. Come on, there's nobody that sits here that doesn't know what the problem is that we have struggled with all of our life. God knows, and you know. And we're all sons of Adam. What do we do about it? How do we prepare for this day? How we prepare is God says, let us lay aside. He doesn't say He's going to snatch it away and lay it aside for us. He says, you lay it aside. You let go of it. Let go of your hold on this thing. Loosen your hand from it and let it be gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, there's things the bride has to do to make herself ready, isn't there? Hallelujah. Oh my. It says in verse 39, all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Do you understand? We are talking about people who are in heaven. Hello?
Amen.
These are people who are in heaven, have not yet been made perfect. And you thought everybody in heaven was perfect. Well, in one sense, but in another sense, no. They're not finished until this last generation finishes the destruction of Satan and his kingdom on this earth.
I know I'm not perfect, but I'm striving for them.
Yes. We are striving for perfection. Amen. So, let me go back now for a minute to Isaiah. I want to go to the 26th chapter. I trust you held your finger there or something. And where are we going to start here? Maybe verse 16. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. I believe, brethren, and I passed out these things last week, a place of natural shelter from the radiation. I believe that when this first comes, it's going to come before we have been changed. I believe we're going to be in this natural flesh when these things first begin to break out. But we're going to have to come to a place, all right? We'll probably take a natural shelter of some sort first. Listen, brethren, why is this offensive? I hear the weather report. I turn the radio on every day. And when the man says there's a storm coming, what do I do? I make sure I know where my shovel is, my snow shovel. Amen. I make sure I've got a little gas. Amen. Why? Because I have a gas-powered contraption that gets rid of the snow. Well, I don't have a blower. I have a tractor that pushes.
Oh, all right.
All right? But I have to have that. In other words, there are certain things that we make preparation for. If they tell me it's going to be a three-day storm, we might look in the refrigerator. Do I have enough bread? Do I have enough whatever to go 3 days? Whatever I'm going to eat for 3 days. Now, if God says there's coming a nuclear storm, there's coming a storm of terrorists, what am I going to do? I'm going to act as if I believed it. Am I not? I'm going to make some kind of preparation. Now, I realize, brethren, I realize there's coming a time we're going to have to walk totally by faith. I know that. I know we're coming to a time when there's no natural preparation, there's no natural hiding place that I can hide. There's no natural food supply that I can store up that's going to keep me through the entirety of time. And next time we get together, brethren, I want to take you through the Word of God, line upon line, verse upon verse, and I want to prove to you the goodness of God and what He's done with His people throughout the years. We're going to go right back to the book of Exodus, coming out of Egypt, what God has done for His people. My goodness, where there was absolutely no way that in the natural they could have taken care of themselves. Nevertheless, when God spoke to the dream to Pharaoh, amen, He called upon Joseph, called him out of the prison house to interpret that dream. And there was something natural that they had to do to prepare for that coming. Now, God in His sovereignty could have stopped the whole famine. But He was using the famine to accomplish His purpose. What did God use this famine for? What purpose did God have for it? His purpose was to call the sons of Israel to Egypt and to hold them there in Egypt until He could make of them a nation. Otherwise, they'd have been running around the desert, flying apart, leaving one another. They would not have become a solidified nation of people. I mean, at one time, Judah already left the bunch and went off on his own and finally had to come back. Do you see what would have happened? God used a famine, and He used a natural means of preparation in this famine. What? 7 years of plenty. Store up the grain. And the 7 years of plenty took them through the 7 years of famine. I'm just giving that as an example. Now, they had to have faith and they had to believe God as well, did they not? The faith that Joseph had was to declare that it was coming and to declare to all of Egypt that this is what they have to do to prepare for it. And pardon me, but Pharaoh had to have enough faith to believe the word that Joseph brought to him. What made Pharaoh believe it? Not that Pharaoh was a man of faith, but I think that Pharaoh was terrorized enough by these dreams. He was terrified of them. God put a terror in his heart so that he would believe when the man of God came and said, "Thus and thus saith the Lord, this is the meaning of that dream. And this is what I advise you to do about it." The man didn't promote himself. Joseph did not promote himself. He just said, "You need to find a man who is worthy and capable of administering these affairs for you."
Hey, Mark.
And Pharaoh said, "You're the man."
I just happened to think that that's a picture of now, when God brings the hard time upon the earth, Pharaoh unredeemed, yet he believed God. The people in the world, the unredeemed people in the world, will also turn to God because of the hard times that are coming.
Amen. Well, let's go on here with this passage in Isaiah 26. What verse did I read?
16.
"Like as a woman with child that draweth near, the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. Now, we're talking about the woman in travail to bring forth the man-child. I believe that this time, I don't know how long it's going to be, but I believe that we are going to be in a time when we know that the nuclear, that it's disastrous to step outside of our house. There's going to be a season of time. I don't know how long. Weeks? Months? I don't know how long. I just know that there's going to be a season of time when we are going to be held in the natural, and what are we going to do? Are we going to be turning the TV on and let's watch some good shows? No. Do you know what I think we're going to be doing? We're going to be in prayer like we've never been in prayer before.
Amen.
We're going to be calling out on the Lord like we've never called out on the Lord before.
Amen.
And you know what? I believe it's also going to happen. I believe that the presence of God is going to come upon us as we have never seen before.
Amen. Amen.
I heard Brother Castle speaking down there in Jamaica. He was the first speaker of the second session. And I'll just tell you, and it bears witness, there is coming a move of God, brethren. A move of God such as... No, it wasn't there, it was in Nebraska that I heard him say that. A move of God such as this world has never seen. Greater than Azusa Street. Greater than the day of Pentecost. Amen. And I heard Brother Seth say the former rain and the latter rain, reading from the book of Joel. Amen. What do you mean, former rain and latter rain at the same time? The former rain and the latter rain don't come in the natural at the same time. God is speaking spiritual. And He says, I'm going to just pour it on. Why? Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. He's going to be a wall against the blast of the enemy. And He's going to empower the sons of God. Hallelujah. Oh, is there anybody here that doesn't want to be among the sons of God? But you're going to have to pay a price. What is the price? What is the price? What did we sing today? What were the verses? What was that verse that we sang? Every what? Rita, are you the only one that knows that song? We lay upon the altar. Every sin I now confess, it was in that song, I can hear it. Hide me, Lord. Yeah, but what... I give my life. Yes, there we go. I give my life a sacrifice. Take my life, O Lord. Yes. That is what we're going to be crying out to the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
But there's no reason you can't start now.
That's what the Lord said when we were singing it.
Why can't we start telling the Lord that now? Why do we have to wait until we get nuked?
Now do it.
Now! Yes. And you know what? I think that little brush with the Lord that I had when I went to the computer to get that email from Gary. Oh, the presence of the Lord came upon me. So it was just awesome. And I thought, my God, this is just a little taste.
It's an awe.
What is going to happen when He comes in that manner and just stays right there with me?
You have no control of yourself at all. He takes.
My goodness. I mean, when the power of God comes on me like that, then I'm going to know. I'm walking out of that house. I don't care what nukes are going on. I'm walking down in the Antichrist's face and say, thus saith the Lord. Your day has come. You're done. Principalities, powers, you're done for. You're going to stop this destruction. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we command it to stop. And that's what's going to stop it. Out of Mount Zion shall come deliverance. Hallelujah. Are you with me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad we got your attention here today. Hallelujah. Well, we said here in verse 17, like as a woman with child that draweth near, the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out. You see, have any of you women had children that are here? Some of you have, haven't you? Okay. Some of you know what it's like. You could give me a little remembrance of that day when you brought forth your first child. Is there anybody here that didn't cry out somewhat?
We're still crying
out. You're still crying out. You're still crying out, yes.
Oh, God.
You say, well, I'm tough. I'm not going to cry. No, no. Every woman cries out.
Oh, yeah.
They groan and they travail. Okay. Amen. And this is a spiritual picture. Come on. If you haven't brought forth natural child, you're going to bring forth a spiritual child, and you're going to travail, and you're going to cry out.
Right.
And God is going to hear your cry. Amen? And God is going to answer that cry. Can you imagine what it's going to be like before the throne of God? Simultaneously hearing all the sons of God crying out at the same time, "My God, my God!" Tell me a God that can sit back and not respond to that kind of a prayer. I don't think you'll be able to sit back. He's going to say, "Oh my, we've got to go now."
He sees Jesus in all of us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Like as a woman with child that draweth near, the time of her delivery, is in pain and crieth out in her pangs,
amen,
so have we been in thy sight, O Lord." We've been going through it, Lord. Amen. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. In other words, we haven't really brought forth a man-child ministry yet, have we? We understand it. We talk about it. We preach about it. We aspire to it. We intend to be there. But all that's come forth out of that womb seems to be empty wind. We've made a lot of noise. We've made a lot of hot air. But we haven't yet brought forth. God says it's coming forth, but we haven't brought it forth. Why? Because we don't have the power in ourselves to do it. It's not until the master of the house rises up. How many of you know the master of the house is going to rise up? Amen? Oh, one of the brethren was, I think it was Brother Seth, was saying, talking about Boaz at midnight. What happened at midnight? Boaz was startled. The man was startled at midnight. And he awoke and he found a woman where?
At his feet.
At his feet. A woman at his feet where he was sleeping.
Right.
Amen. And what is the place that the church needs to be in response to Christ?
At his feet.
At his feet. And it seems like he is asleep. Isn't that what you were sharing? It seems like our prayers haven't been answered, like he's been asleep. "Lord, where have you been?" But I think that what the sister is saying, that she senses there's a stirring. She's felt the stirring. I think that's what happened to me yesterday. There was a stirring. He moved a little bit. My goodness, that little move was just so overpowering. What did he do when he moved, when he realized that his handmaid, "Who is this? Who's at my feet?" "It's your handmaiden, Lord. Cast your mantle over me." And what did he do? He covered her with his mantle. Hallelujah. Do you see the picture here? Under the shadow, he put the mantle over her. And that meant two things. It meant, one, that he was claiming her. Two, that he was protecting her. And three, that mantle upon us means that we have his anointing upon us. Ruth had that anointing on her. And she didn't have to worry.
Amen.
"He put the mantle over me." That means as soon as it's daylight, he's going to take care of business. He's going down to the gate. He's going to settle the issue. This woman is going to be my bride. Anybody else have a claim on her? You better speak up now. Such and such and so didn't want to make the claim. Boaz said that I'm taking it. Pass the shoe around as a witness. Kind of a strange way to make a deal. take the sandal off and pass it around. Everybody's going to remember my sandal went passing around the elders here. Amen? She's mine. You all remember that day down at the gate when we passed the sandal around. Amen. When did it happen? At midnight. What does midnight mean? The darkest hour is at midnight. Hallelujah. And so, it's not going to be... You think it's midnight now? It's not midnight. We're having a good time yet. It's what time? No. I'm talking about spiritually, brother. Got to keep your eyes in the spirit here. Spiritually, it's not midnight. Midnight is going to be the most desperate, darkest hour that you can imagine. And I'm almost getting a picture in my mind of what it's going to be like now. The closer it gets, I'm almost getting a picture. I'm seeing the desperate condition that we're going to be in. I'm beginning to feel how we're going to feel when that midnight hour comes.
I know what's going to happen to the people of the world when the time comes. It's going towards them, the evil that they're going to
We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth as of yet. What does that mean? But that means we are going to. As of this point, it says we haven't. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Wickedness has not yet fallen. Terrorists have not yet been obliterated. Terror is still here. Thy dead men shall live. Amen. How many of you know we need life? We have been like dead men. Dead bones. Amen. Wasn't it Ezekiel that saw the valley of dead bones? He saw the church was dead.
Dead man walking.
Dead bones. And the Spirit of God began to call the bones together. And the Spirit of God began to put flesh on the bones. And the Spirit of God began to cause them to rise up and walk a mighty army. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. The earth shall cast out the dead. That sounds like resurrection to me, doesn't it? Amen. In response to all that, I read all that to come down to verse 20. Come, my people. Come, my people. Come, my... Now, listen. He didn't say, go, my people. Go, my people, means I'm here and I'm sending you away somewhere out there. Come, my people, means that I'm here. I'm in the secret place. I'm in this place. I want you to come in to me where I am. Remember that Jesus made a statement one time about, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you. And people have taken that so carnally, haven't they? They're thinking that they're going to have their own little building in heaven, you know, and they're going to have a special kind of wallpaper on the sides and a special kind of pillars out front and special kind of hard, you know, furniture, this brand, you know, and wall decor. I mean, I've heard people talk about this. In my Father's house are many mansions. Then he said, that where I am, there ye may be also. He didn't say where I'm going. He said that where I am.
Amen.
Where was he? He was there talking to them. But in his spirit, he was in the Father. God wants us to be in the same place that Jesus is when he said that word. Walking in the Father. I don't say anything unless I hear it from the Father. I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. That where I am, that you can be there too.
Amen.
That you can walk like I have walked.
Yep, just like the Lord.
That's why I go to prepare a place for you. That place.
Mm-hmm.
Not a place where you've got gold on your banisters and things like that. That's not it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a place in the Father.
Amen.
A place in the Spirit. Hallelujah. A place of relationship. That's what this whole thing is about. Bringing us to that place. Come, my people. Enter into thy chambers. It's going to start in our chambers, isn't it?
Yes. Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
It's going to start in the secret place of our heart.
Amen.
Thy chambers. Come, my people. Thy chambers. And shut thy doors about thee. Why do we shut doors about us? To keep the other junk out. To keep the distractions away.
Amen.
My goodness. Shut thy doors. Go turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. Turn the boombox off. Turn the stuff off. Turn the noise of the devils off.
Amen.
Why? Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. I think he's talking some natural things here, too. For a little moment, we're going to need to be hid. Amen? Until the indignation is overpassed. What? Is this talking about end times? Or is this talking about some ancient historical event that was going to happen with some foreign king coming in? No, we're talking end times here. Listen to the rest of this. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. It sounds like the judgment of God, does it not? To punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, rebellion, sin, wickedness.
Amen.
Amen. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. What does that mean? It means there's going to be a day of reckoning. The wickedness, the innocent blood, the things that have been covered, the things that the politicians are covering, it's all going to come out.
Amen.
There's going to be a scream.
Judgment.
Oh my, when I come across that verse over in Revelation about the revelation of the brightness of His coming, the day of His coming, and the kings and the mighty men and the captains crying out and saying, "Oh, rocks, mountains, cover us, hide us from the face of Him." The glory, the brightness. Oh my goodness. Oh, a little taste of the glory of God, and you just want more. Hallelujah. More and more that you're going to want. Hallelujah. Can I take you to just a couple of other verses here? Can I take you to Luke 21, verse 36, if we can? Sometimes I like Matthew, sometimes I like Luke. Luke says some things, you know, sometimes that Matthew didn't say. I'm glad that Brother Luke has a memory of some of these things that were left out. It says, "Take heed to yourselves," verse 34, "lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drowning." By the way, what does surfeiting mean? It doesn't mean you're down surfing the ocean, does it? It means with carousing, that you don't become weighed down with carousing. How many of you know what carousing is all about? You say, well, carousing is what people do on New Year's Eve when they start bobbing around from bar to bar. Well, that's a form of carousing, I guess. But you know, I believe that we can be carousing in other manner too, that we're just paying no attention to what God is doing. Hallelujah. Well, let me just go on here. With overcharged, with surfeiting and drunkenness. What? You're going to say, well, what is spiritual drunkenness? What is this thing all about? Drunkenness is drinking of doctrines that are going to draw the life out of you. You're going to be focusing on things that have nothing to do with aspiring unto sonship in the kingdom of God. Take the rapture doctrine, for example. If you believe that we don't need to do anything to prepare for this day of the Lord coming, brethren, you're going to be deceived, you are deceived, and you're not going to be ready. It's like you're in a drunken stupor. I remember back when I was in my 20s, I never heard this rapture thing until I was in my 20s. And I grew up in church where they read the Word of God, preached the Word of God, preached salvation, maybe not in the level that we do today, but I remember meeting people from a different persuasion. I remember some of these young women especially. And they were talking about these end times, you know, and the revelation, things that were come. And they would always end their sentence, but we don't need to worry about those things. I said, well, why not? Well, because we're not going to be here. I said, well, why not? Well, because we're all going to be raptured away. I said, oh, really? Is that true? And, you know, there was a time that I believed that. And then I met other people with the same persuasion. And they say, oh, thus and thus and thus and thus is going to happen. But we don't need to worry about that. And after a while, I begin to think, well, I wonder why God wasted all that time in the Bible telling us all about that if we don't need to worry about it. He wrote all that for the wicked. And the wicked aren't going to be interested in reading the Word when that time comes because the Revelation says they repented not of their sorceries. They repented not of their fornication. They repented not of their thefts. They repented not of their murders. They're not going to be interested in repenting.
No.
So why did he write all that? I mean, a whole book of Revelation, but we don't need to worry about that. So why is it even in the Bible if we don't need to worry about it? Well, I began to think about such things. I'm not going to get into rapture today. Amen. I could be going on for 3 more hours. Amen. But we're talking about drunkenness. Carousing is partaking. It's going from place to place to place in different churches, partaking of this, partaking of that, carousing about here. The world goes from bar to bar. And what are they doing in bar to bar? They're going there to drink of what the world has to offer, which is at natural alcohol. But what God's people can end up doing in their carousing is they go from fellowship to fellowship until they find a word that pleases them. Well, I like this word. This doesn't trouble me too bad, so I think this is where I'm going to settle in. But they bounce about from here and there and drink a little here and drink a little there. My goodness, I tell you, we had a sister here a while back that left us. She was overcoming. She was getting deliverance. And the prophet brought a word to her that you're going here and you're going there. I see you going about picking a little here and picking a little there. And you know, one day she came back so confused after having drunk here and drunk there and drunk somewhere else, so confused that she didn't know what she believed anymore. She believed it all. And half of it was in conflict with the other half. And still she believed it all. This, to me, is a result of drunkenness and surfeiting and carousing spiritually. I hope that answered your question.
Yes.
Okay. Let me go on then. Surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. How many of you know we can get overcome with the cares of this life?
Oh, yeah.
Amen? So that day come upon you unaware. If we are so concerned about the stuff of this life. You know, I'm telling you, brethren, it's time to divest of the stuff of this life. All that junk that is keeping us from the kingdom of God, it's time to divest of it. The cares of turn it back over to the world. Get your money out of it while it's worth something.
Amen.
Amen. Let the world buy it.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Let them buy your hobbies.
Then they can't steal it from
others. Hallelujah.
They can't steal it.
Yeah. What good are all those hobbies going to do you?
Right.
They have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. My goodness, some of these people with their hobbies, I've noticed these horsey people. I shouldn't be picking on the horsey people. I like horses. Horses are good. My goodness, when these people get into the horsey business, they're running all the time.
Yeah.
They load up that old horse trailer. They got to get a big one-ton dually. Well, no, I'm not talking about going to horse races.
Oh,
horsey
people. Yeah, well, okay, so I like horses. My father had horses when we were young. We used them to work the fields, you know, and Brother Mark, are you that old? Yes, we still had horses, but we were just getting into tractors, too. Amen? And my goodness, they load those horses up in these trailers, and they're off to a show here and a show there, and there's this and there's that kind of horse, and there's rodeo horse, and there's prancy horse, you know, and there's what?
You were a doggy.
Yeah, I was doggy. I went to dog shows. My goodness, I had dog shows all over the Northeast. We'd drive to Pennsylvania, drive to New England. Anywhere within driving distance, I'd go to a dog show. My goodness, I had a whole cupboard full of trophies. I gave them all away. I didn't want one of them anymore.
Yorkies?
Blue ribbons. No, I wasn't into Yorkies.
I did ask Aunt.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm so glad it's gone.
Me too.
They don't own me anymore. Been there, done that. Oh, then I got into training of bloodhounds. Oh, I was a good trainer. Yes, I trained bloodhounds how to track.
Wow.
And by the way, they have a tremendous ability to track. And I had a lot of fun with it when I was a child.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what? By the way, I was a child and I was still 30 years old.
But
there came a time when I gave up childish things.
Yeah.
And I said, Lord, thank you. I'm not going back there anymore. Been there, done that. I know dogs. I know something about horses. Been there, done that, no more. I'm into kingdom things now. Let me go on. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore. What are we to do? There's something we are to do. Watch and pray.
Amen.
Amen. Always. Watch and pray once a month. Watch and pray only on Sunday when you get together.
I don't think so.
No. Always.
Amen.
Amen. Why? That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Why?
Be vigilant.
That I may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Not that may be come to pass, but shall come to pass. The only way I can be worthy is if I watch and pray. And I am praying to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeshua.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Son of the Creator God.
Amen.
Who calls Himself the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why? That I might stand before Him on that day.
Amen.
There's coming a day that I am going to stand before Him. Otherwise, I am unworthy to stand before Him. I am not talking about work salvation, brethren. I am not talking about let's go out and see if we can find more law to keep. That's not what I'm looking at. I'm talking about keeping Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Brethren, we are coming to... We are in now. We have crossed over in the seventh millennium, seventh day of Sabbath. The day that the whole world is coming into rest. Hallelujah. A millennium of rest for this earth. It is the Lord's day. How much more can we say it is the day of the Lord? Hallelujah. Come, my people. Come, my people. The call is to my people. The same as when God was in the ark. The ark had been finished. Noah had finished. He had done all the work that God asked him to do. All the natural preparation work. He had to work with his hands. He had to work with wood. Amen. He had to work with pitch. He had to work with a means of securing that wood together. Nails, whatever they used. I don't know what they used. But he had to work and do that work with natural material. And there came a time when God said, now I've moved in. You come in now. Come and join me where I am. Hallelujah. The master of the house is about to rise up. And what happens when he rises up? It says, when the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, And you see, there's believers that are going to be left outside that door. And you begin to stand outside the door and knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And His answer is going to be, I don't know you. What does that mean? That means we haven't had an intimate, knowing relationship. And you wait until midnight and you say, now I'd like to have that relationship, Lord. And He's going to say, the door is shut. I called to you before and you didn't answer. When I said, come in, you didn't answer. When I said, come in, Noah and his family came in, but you didn't come in. You heard the same thing Noah did. When I said, come in, Noah stood and he said, last call, fellas. I'm going in today. My family and I are moving in today. Mm-hmm. Come and join me, please.
Amen.
But they didn't.
Right.
He's going to say to some believers, no, I didn't say they're going to hell. They're not going to go to hell. These people that believed the word that Noah preached, yes, they went to a place at that time called, translated as hell, but it's not the hell hell. It's a place where everybody went when they died. There was a division line between the wicked and those who died believing, but still the blood of Jesus hadn't been shed, so they had to go to that place to wait. But Jesus went there after He died and He preached to them. And He took them out. And He took captivity captive out of that place. You were calling upon me when the floods were coming on the earth. I heard you call. I heard you pounding your fist on the side of the ark. Noah, Noah, open! We believe now, Noah. We're ready to believe. And you see, that's going to happen to some believers. The door is going to be shut. They are going to see that there are some who have entered in. They are walking in the place of faith. They are walking in victory. And they aren't making it. And they're going to go and try to get the oil. They'll get the oil by going through the natural tribulation, and they'll probably have their life taken from them,
right.
And they will be in heaven,
mm-hmm.
Many of them. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, when I hear the Lord saying, come my people, I want to go now and enter in to the place where He is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I think we said all that we have to say today. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. Amen.